So first of all, brothers and sisters, I just really want to thank you for the great support that you gave last Sunday. Peter Banks came here. He's a Franciscan priest, as some of you might remember, and he really lifted up our congregation, our community, all through the day and spoke about his work in Watts at St. Lawrence Brindisi. And those schools and parishes, as you know, would not be open except for our support. We raised $110,000 over last week and either pledged or actually given. That's an extraordinary amount of money. We still need to get to 198. So we would ask you, if you've yet to do that, or if you had intended to do it, or took it home and said you might do it, this is the Sunday I would ask you to put that in that basket, because it is, I think, at this pretty horrendous time in this archdiocese, the right thing for us to do and to be right there in that inner city, right there with those parishes and schools that literally would not be open except for Together in Mission. Those places are alive and flourishing and actually growing. And those schools are making a huge difference to the very poorest of the poor of our city. 20 minutes from the fufu land of Santa Monica. 20 minutes. And so it's so important for us, I think, to engage in that community of faith. And I think it's just the right thing for us to do. So I beg you tonight, those envelopes are there. Please either pledge or make some offering. But let's reach our goal and let's give that great gift to those great parishes and schools that mean so much and are at the center of a great work. A work begun by this archdiocese years ago and continues to this day. So tonight we're talking about temptation. And the only little story that I can tell you that I know about temptation is the story of a guy who decides to give up, as I have, donuts and sweets for Lent. How many have given up sugar for Lent? Let's get a little, oh, that's good. Okay. I wonder why. So anyway, he comes to work every day because he passes this incredible bakery and he can't resist. And he brings a bag of donuts, not just for himself, but for those that he shares every day. Well, Ash Wednesday comes. He comes with a big cross on his forehead and he announces to his great people of his office that he's not going to give any more donuts during Lent. He's given them up, so everybody's going to give them up for Lent. Nice. First weekend goes by, you know, Ash Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Gets through that first week of Lent. And then on the Monday of the second week of Lent, by golly, he arrives once again with that big bag of sweets and donuts. And everyone in the office is startled because he had made such ado about giving up this great thing for Lent. And so a guy goes up to him and says, I thought you said to me you weren't going to bring donuts and you weren't going to eat them during Lent. He said, well, you know, I was at Mass on Sunday and I'm really listening to my God speak to me. That's what we're told to do during Lent. And this voice inside me says, if on Monday morning you pass the bakery and there's a parking spot right smack at the door of the bakery, right in front, that's a sign that I want you to go in and get that bag of donuts and enjoy the meal. So he said, on my 11th circle of the bakery that morning, I found the open spot. And I know God was speaking to me. So here they are. I think that happens to all of us in this great season. We can say to ourselves, you know, it isn't the same, or I need it because I need the energy. I don't know, all kinds of things we song and dance. But it is a temptation to resist the things that we choose. And that's at the center, I think, of this message today, of the temptations of our blessed Lord. But there's another message. And that's the message of the 40 days. And I think that in our tradition, that means for us, as good people of St. Monica's, a length of time. Moses spent 40 days on the mountain in his relationship seen, literally, Yahweh, 40 days. Elijah the prophet spent 40 days in the desert, praying, fasting, preparing for his great mission. The Jews wandered for 40 years in the desert, ultimately and finally coming to the promised land. But it wasn't something that came momentarily. It was something that they had to endure in order for that to happen. So in that Jewish tradition, our Lord and Savior today in that gospel spends, right after his baptism, 40 days, a long period of time, up in the great desert, in prayer and fasting, and ultimately in temptation. So I think, my brothers and sisters, that's really good for us to be in solidarity. It's a rich tradition. Each year we are given a period of time, a long period, 40 days. And I would just hope that we would not resist those days, but that we would use those days as an opportunity for a greater encounter, a greater relationship, a greater walk with Jesus Christ. And I was thinking about that a lot over this last week because I've had lots of people texting me and talking to me and sharing with me their plan and their hope. And I've tried to attempt to lead our congregation on Ash Wednesday with that rich tradition and that belief in this great season. We could end up on Holy Thursday and say, whoops, it's gone. I've done nothing. And I will say to you on Holy Thursday, predictably, it's not how you begin, it's how you end that counts. So if you haven't done anything, do it now. But why don't we start today and see that we're given those 40 days to make some difference? So Friday morning, 5:30 after my bike ride, I came in and put on my little iPhone, and there was a message from Ted. Any of you see those clips, Ted? How many have seen Ted? Anybody? Oh, you have. All right. It's fascinating. I don't know much about the organization. It's about good things that are worth sharing. And they go across this nation, and they get people, and they give them literally 10 minutes, just like you give me every Sunday. Maybe a couple minutes more, but 10 minutes to share one thought, to give one message, their message, whatever that is. So this young man named Sean Achor, A-C-H-O-R, spoke at one of the universities, I forget exactly, I think it was in Bloomington, I'm not sure, about the happiness advantage. Sean had gone to had been given the great opportunity to go to Harvard. Now, some of you wonderful people have had that great opportunity, and that's a huge blessing. But what he discovered was that once the thrill of having been accepted to Harvard is over, people go right back to their thinking. And many of the students at Harvard go back into that negative thing, which says, I'm not as good as this person. These classes are boring or overwhelming or whatever that negative thought is. And so having done a lot of tests, especially with students across the nation, but specifically there, he came up with this thought that 75% is the lens and only 25% is the outside reality. There it is. That's the outside reality. And so it does matter what happens to us. But what matters more is how we see it. And so he spent 8 years after his graduation working with students on this thing called a happiness advantage. And they came up with a three-week series that they tested with students and have shared with them to somehow come to a better happiness, a better lens, a better way at looking at the great advantage that they have in their lives. So I'm going to share those four steps that he has recommended and suggests to you that we not do it for 21 days, but we do it for 40 days. Why not? Number one, he says, when you wake up every morning, in the next 40 days, if we could just do this, think first about three things that in the last 24 hours, and by the way, that great genius Dan Howes has got this written in your little book, so you'll find it inside there. I just shared it with him for 2 minutes yesterday afternoon. Bang, here it appears right inside our little leaflets today. He's a genius. So, three things as I wake up in the morning. Not, oh my God, I've got to learn, you know. But three things that I'm grateful for that happened over the last day. And when I did it, there was a lot of things that, the first day I did it, there was a lot of things that were swimming in my mind. But then he says to land on one of the three and either write about it or just think a little bit more deeply about it. Because if we can think a little bit more about it, we will re-engage in something that's really good and something we're grateful for. So I had on Thursday a day away from you, and it was wonderful. And I thought about some things I did and the fact that I couldn't golf because they had a women's tournament out at that great course, and God bless those wonderful women. I was delighted that they took my spot out there. But as I was thinking, the one thing I landed on was, you know, I've got this place at Seal Beach that my parents sacrificed so much to give to me and my sister, and now to me because my sister's with God. And I take it for granted. I go down there regularly when I can, once a week, once every 3 weeks, half an hour, a few hours. But I have this place that I can claim. Oh, so I began to think about my parents, the gift of that. So I had lots of things that happened, but that's the thing I landed on that morning. The second thing he says to do, get out in the morning and get some exercise. If you go out and have 6 cups of coffee and then go right to work, you're going to feel lousy all day long. First of all, you're going to have jitters, and then you're going to feel terrible. Get out and get those endorphins moving. Get some juice. Get some energy. Well, he doesn't say it like that, but that's what he's saying. I think that's such good advice. In that early first time of the morning, to meet the day with some air, walk, something, just to engage. Third, he says, this man is not talking to folks at church. He said, meditation every day. He says, our minds are so confused. We run in so many ways. We've got so much coming at us. The only way we can come to live in the mindfulness and gratitude of a moment is through meditation. It somehow gives us a discipline in our lives to be more attentive. The power and the gift and the grace of this moment. So three thoughts. One that we really get into. Exercise. Some air. Prayer. And then texting before you get going in the day. One good word to someone in your sphere of influence. Just a good word. Good morning. You know, I'm so grateful for my friendship with you. Thank you. You wake up in the morning, and on your screen, you have a good word. Think about doing that to 40 different people each day. I don't know what it'll do to you, but I'm telling you, it makes me feel terrific. Now, I'm not sure that that's going to suit your Lent. But I think sometimes we go into Lent, and I'm not saying we shouldn't give things up, and I'm not suggesting that we don't do, you know, daily mass, and I'm not suggesting we don't. I think those are good things. But this to me was such a wonderful thing, because the thing that's missing in so much of our lives is happiness. We're all so bloody depressed. We're down and we're anxious and we're fearful. Why do we have to live like that? That's not how our God wants us to live. And if truth be told, if we remember, we know that our God does love us and is with us and will cover us over, and it will be a good day. Yes, it will be. So Saturday morning, that was Friday. Saturday morning, I went out, did my texting, did all my things. I was all the way down, went down to Chautauqua, and came back. It was about before 5, around 5 o'clock. Bang! My back tire blew out my bike. Now I'm down at the pit of the pier, and I'm mad. First of all, who would put a lousy nail on that bike path? Some scoundrel. I didn't call him a scoundrel, actually, but anyway. So there it was, and I'm standing there. What am I going to do? So I'm walking back, and I'm regaling myself about how depressing that is, and blah, 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 and all the stuff they do. I get there, and I'm coming up Wilshire Boulevard. And it dawned on me, if I'm a grateful person, got the exercise, I'm praying, and I've texted, what is it God wants to say to me about that? And just as it came back to me, that attitude of gratitude, I looked inside one of the restaurants about 3 blocks down from here, and right in one of the little inlets was a man about my age, lying on the cement on a cold winter morning, alone, homeless, probably pretty broken. Now, I could ride my bike every day and miss that because I just don't see it. I'm riding. But for some reason, my God said to me today, Boy Torgerson, look. You know what my thought was, in all honesty? Except for the grace of God, that could so easily be me. Now, most of you probably never lived like that because you're all such great and holy people. But I know that could very easily have been me. Well, folks, hope that's a start for you for 40 days. I hope it's probably not enough, but I wish I was holier and more profound. But that's a message I believe that's really important for us this Lent. Our Holy Father this week on Monday, there came out at about 4:45, and there was one of the Channel 7 trucks out in the front of the front there this morning. I said, oh my God, what's now? What is it now? So I went down a block and looked on my iPhone, and there it was, the Pope resigned. I said, whoa, now that's news. What an extraordinary person to live in the truth. Here's in the pinnacle of power. He is. I mean, that's it. And somehow because of the truth, prayer, and the goodness of that man, he said, I can't do it anymore. I can't do it. So I hope that helps us. Hope it helps us for our journey. I hope it helps us in our love and gratitude to the living God for the precious gift of 40 days. And I beg you, take hold of each and every one of them. Because I really believe this. I commend this to you today. Every day, God has a very, very unique, special gift for you. So let's live in that gratitude.